pistons and propellers crash the VLJ party. How SATSAIR does air taxi using SR-22s. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Phil Quist of SATSAIR, and also back with me from yesterday is Richard Kane, the CEO of Coastal Technologies Group. And we're here to continue a conversation started yesterday about door2doorair.com. This is a new web portal which is going to allow you the same convenience and very similar look to any of the search engines now that you use to buy travel on the scheduled airlines. Only in this case, you'll be buying air taxi service on demand, the number of seats you need, and you'll be flying in small aircraft instead of in big pressurized aluminum tubes. Phil, first of all, thanks for coming on board with us today. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Yesterday, I talked at length with Richard about the model and how door2doorair.com will work and how the travel experience will be different for people flying on air taxi service rather than the scheduled airlines out of the major hub airports. I wanted to get your kind of input on, first of all, how SATSAIR meshes with this program. I know you played a big role in getting it launched in North Carolina and getting the funding to give it this test. But tell us a little bit about the background of SATSAIR to start with and how you got to where you are now and why Cirrus SR-22s?
Well, great, Paul. I appreciate that. SATSAIR is operating a fleet of SR-22, the Cirrus aircraft. I think as we've all talked about, probably initially a little over 3.5 years ago, our CEO, Steve Hanvey, was in the marketplace understanding about the whole SATS NASA program and what it could be and needing to find an aircraft that could satisfy this point-to-point travel in the small aircraft transportation system. And at that time, there was a lot of talk about the VLJs, the Eclipse, you know, the Atom, these different type aircrafts. But with Steve's background and understanding of what it takes to bring an aircraft to market, he said, we need something that's true, you know, tried and true. And that's where the Cirrus came to the forefront. Steve has been involved with Cirrus for a number of years and knew Alan very well and said, the Cirrus has all the right components to bring this together. It has the advanced technology as the glass cockpit. It has the range of what we see the small aircraft transportation system being, and it has the comfort for the customer that's, you know, not typical that you've seen in a small aircraft before. So all those things came together, like say, over 3 years ago, and that was the reason for the perfect aircraft. The great news for us is it was a good way to get started, you know, with Steve and aircraft number one, and today being 26 airplanes in the fleet and growing, you know, we're now starting to see the VLJs evolve, and we now see the Eclipse being utilized, though limited initially, it is starting to come up the scale, and the others as well as, you know, the Cirrus latest announcement on their jet, and, you know, Diamond and what they're doing. So, you know, there's being the great evolution. The great news is we got a huge head start by operating the aircraft and understanding the model, which played perfect into the North Carolina flyports or the door-to-door website that we're talking about today.
Well, talking with the guys at DayJet when that project was getting off the ground, their initial research envisioned that they would become a replacement for day trips by car for business people. You know, I lived in Florida for a while. I lived in Orlando, and it was always amusing to have people come into the state by car to visit and totally misunderstand the perspective of the size of Florida. You know, you'd see them in a diner in Jacksonville at lunchtime, and they say, hey, honey, let's go catch a sunset in Key West. Well, ain't going to happen. And I think the analogy on the business side is that there are a lot, you know, there are places it would take you an entire day to drive to that you could get to in a couple of hours in a small plane. And for replacing that kind of trips, a VLJ is sexy and marketable, but really if you do the math, a piston single has really, really compelling economics. And there's a reason why there's still a lot of propellers spinning on regional aircraft these days instead of everybody going to jets, is because propellers, you know, still get there cheaper.
No, great point, and you're exactly right on that. again, a single engine aircraft versus two engines. So there's naturally an economic issue associated with that. And then the cost of operation of the jet and the acquisition cost as well. And those were all key things that played into SATS Air's decision on the appropriate aircraft for the appropriate mission. And I think what you're talking about is the appropriate mission being that 4 to 6 hour drive that can become a 1 to 1.5 hour flight. And that is the sweet spot that we saw that the piston aircraft can very much solve without having to get to the altitude to get the efficiencies that the jets would receive for the longer distance trips.
All right, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about some of the perceptions the general public has of piston singles, you know, some of which go all the way back to the 1930s and 40s and maybe aren't relevant anymore, and ask you how you have worked around some of the negatives that might be associated with this form of travel. My guest is Phil Quist of SATS Air. We also have on the line Richard Kane, CEO of Coastal Technologies Group, in case we need to get his perspective too, on door2doorair.com and the participation in this new network by SATS Air. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is Granger Whitelaw, CEO of the Rocket Racing League, a new sports and entertainment league for the 21st century. You can find us at EAA Air Venture 2008 at the northwest corner of Aeroshell Square. At our exhibit, RRL Live, you can meet the pilots, receive autographs, fly simulators, and participate in games, hourly prize giveaways, and more. You will also receive a commemorative inaugural flight sticker when you sign up to become a fan of the Rocket Racing League. And come see us at Reno Air Races in September.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Phil Quist of SATS Air and Richard Kane of Coastal Technologies Group, expanding on yesterday's Aero News special feature, which dealt with door2doorair.com. This is a new web portal that lets you go and book air taxi service across a number of providers, the same way that Travelocity or Orbitz lets you book across scheduled airlines flying out of major hubs. Richard, let me get back to you for just a minute and ask you about the perceptions the public may have of piston singles as an aircraft on which they want to fly for business. Now, I know that, you know, even if you talk to a lot of pilots or people who have been involved in aviation, they say that from a safety standpoint, and especially if you're going to fly over water or hostile terrain, you want a turbine and preferably two or more of them. Has technology gotten to the point where you can successfully argue to people that this can be conducted just as safely and efficiently as they could in any kind of jet?
Well, I crossed the North Atlantic in a turboprop, and I probably wouldn't have done that in a piston single, but a turboprop single, absolutely. But when we talk about principally over land and the SR-22 and the engine monitoring and diagnostics that, for example, SATS Air has in place, you have a very good heads up that there's, you know, potential engine issue. More than that, though, I'm an 800-hour Cirrus pilot, and I feel naked without that parachute handle. Flying what you might argue might be more capable equipment doesn't feel as safe to me anymore. My family feels that way. There's many, many Cirrus pilots and passengers who feel that way. And that's something that, you know, SATS Air has really capitalized on. It answers that question. You have a parachute, whether it's a pilot issue or engine issue, if that were needed. And of course, these airplanes have great glide ratios. Every commercial Cirrus pilot knows how to glide these things in. It's a fantastic platform for what we're doing here.
Well, let me ask you, Phil, because you were probably on the front line of this before Richard ever was. When you told the world you were going to perform air taxi service using Cirrus SR-22s, first of all, what did the FAA say? And second of all, how did you find the reception when you started knocking on doors?
Oh, great question, in the fact that I think we were all sitting here, again, scratching our head, the FAA as well, about single engine, single pilot operation in a piston aircraft as we were doing. I would reiterate what Richard said. We ourselves have concerns with it going over great bodies of water or those type of things. But for the operation in the States, operating over land for these short distances, we felt like it was the perfect aircraft, and felt like when it's professionally flown and with all the safety equipment, it's as safe, if not safer, than anything else in the sky today. And with the engine trend monitoring system that we have developed internally here that's proprietary to SATSAIR, being able to monitor multiple systems and taking a piston aircraft, you typically have never heard of engine trend monitoring with a piston aircraft. So very early on, that was one of the key pieces that we sat down and worked with the FAA to define that and to come up with a protocol by which, give not only the FAA confidence, but it give us great confidence in that when we put, our customers, and our customers like to be called fans. They say they are fans of SATSAIR. And so when we put our fans in the aircraft, we want to make sure of that as well. And so no doubt there was a lot of questions in the beginning. And, Steve Hanvey, I give the credit to having the vision and the understanding of the aircraft, the engine trend monitoring systems, and what the potential of the airplane and the sophistication of the airplane had.
Do you find yourself fighting, negative press regarding small planes? Because, one of the things that really bothers me about aviation is that, the general public seems to have this impression of the professionalism of the pilots and people who maintain small general aviation aircraft that dates back to barnstorming. I mean, every time there's a small plane accident, somebody like Senator Chuck Schumer in New York will pander to the fears of the general public that every small airplane's about to fall on them. Has that perpetuated a stereotype that's really needs to be retired? And have you found yourself having success in doing that?
Yes, I think it is one of those items that need to be retired. But I think one of the key ingredients is it's more than just the aircraft. It's as well as how you perform maintenance, how you maintain that aircraft, how you pilot that aircraft. So that's the key thing, I think, today that you're seeing with what SATSAIR has brought together is this whole professional environment. All the pilots, are employees, rigorous training, recurrent training with us on this aircraft, and all right into the maintenance facilities and how these aircraft are maintained. They get 50-hour phase inspections. Every 50 hours we go through these aircraft with a fine-tooth comb. So as you start building the case of that to the customer and to the general public, they go, oh, okay, we get it. This is very much, though we're not an airline, it's regulated and managed very close to like an airline. And yes, and then when the customer or the fan gets out to the aircraft and then they see the technology, so many people, unfortunately, think of driving up to a small community airport and seeing the older, dilapidated aircraft sitting around on the field, potentially with grass growing up or a flat tire, and that is their image. When they see the Cirrus, it is such a sexy aircraft, and when they step inside and sit and they see the cockpit, it's a game over kind of thing. The comfort is there.
Well, and in this case, now you're talking about comfort they can't possibly get from an airline, even if they buy first-class tickets.
Oh, you bet. And exactly that's where door-to-door air pulls such a big play for SATSAIR, and why we were so supportive of that and why we're so supportive of what the state of North Carolina has brought to market here. There has not been a place in the marketplace before door-to-door air that you could go and truly be able to, you know, in your small city, potentially have the connection to 600 cities, you know, at the best, if you live in Atlanta or Orlando, maybe you can connect to 40 cities. But we give, through this booking engine, the ability for people to fly from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to the Outer Banks, to, you know, Hilton Head, South Carolina, to, you know, some Asheville, North Carolina. So we give them the ability, and with what Richard and his team has developed, real-time booking of point-to-point, you know, on demand. It's a phenomenal thing that the public has never had the access to.
Well, now I have to ask you one final question, and I guess, Richard, I'll direct this to you first because you're the portal guy. But if I'm an airline executive and I pull up your website and I see how it works, I'm sitting there going, uh-oh. And I also have to assume that this is going to have some impact on the discussion of the modernization of the air traffic control system in the United States. Address those two points briefly, and then, Phil, I'll ask you to do the same.
We have sponsored a Lindbergh grant for essentially the optimization and actually a complete replacement of the existing aircraft infrastructure, allowing things like real-time direct routing and constant descent profiles, things that would save between 6 and 10% of fuel burn in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you see UPS doing now with, you know, savings of thousands of pounds of fuel a day. And we really need to scrap what we have and change it to allow direct routing. You know, SATSAIR will talk about going through Class Charlie airspace, and it adds a percentage in efficiency to each leg. And that's really just a computer problem. Specifically, though, the enabling technology of this portal is something the airlines just can't do. If you look at JetBlue and their routing systems go down for 24 to 36 hours and they replace the CEO, they're only dealing with, you know, 29 major hubs for three-quarters of their traffic. We're dealing with 5,400 airports. I mean, SATSAIR serves 800 airports, perhaps. The optimization problem to do this in real time, to provide that Travelocity booking experience, just on the SATSAIR network, ignoring the other providers, there's a million billion combinations that have to be worked through to find an optimal routing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the enabling technology here, and the airlines just don't have that capability. They're used to scheduled service and trying to figure out what gate to park at, and this is a orders of magnitude beyond their capability.
Okay, so you think that the fact that you're using primarily secondary airports, or at least have the option to in most cities, will keep enough of this new load off of the existing air traffic control system that it won't be an immediate problem?
Oh, there's no question. We're at altitudes that the airliners are not using. The Cirrus jet, 25,000 feet, will be below airline traffic. Same for the D-Jet. We have your jet. They're the launch customer for the D-Jet. And that's part of it. But part of it is we're just not trying to cram all this traffic into Teterboro. 75% of all the airline traffic in the U.S. goes through 29 hubs. 98% of the U.S. population lives within 20 miles of their small regional airport. It will spread out the traffic, it will alleviate the congestion, and it enables direct routing. As a personal example, that Palm Beach to Tuscaloosa flight I spoke of yesterday, mm-hmm. I flew that direct. Our TCAS detected one aircraft within 12 miles the entire 3.5 hours. We literally didn't see another airplane. Direct routing, perfectly efficient. That's the way it should be.
Well, if it doesn't conflict in the air, it certainly is going to be a challenge to the airline's business model because, frankly, I think you guys are going to be offering a great proposition to the very people who right now buy the airline's most expensive tickets. Phil, one of the things I want to ask you is I think a big misunderstanding the American consumer has about regulation is that I don't think the average guy on the street understands that when an industry calls for additional regulation, it often is a tactic used by big companies to make life harder for small companies. Do you anticipate any challenges of this type going forward with your model as it becomes more successful?
Paul, unfortunately, I do. I believe that, unfortunately, some of the industry has had it their way for a number of years, and exactly what you're talking about, just like the reports about darkening the skies, one of the statistics that I would give you is in 2007, SATSAIR had 16,000 trips, okay, and only 3% of those went to where the airlines service. So you're talking about 500 of those trips. So, you know, 15,000 plus trips went into small community airports to get people exactly to the destination they needed to be and to thrive and bring economic development to those communities. And one of the big scenarios, because we're based here in Greenville, South Carolina, I can give you that I have right here on my hand, is state of South Carolina has 60 state, you know, public use type airports. Of those, five of those are serviced by the commercial airline group. Well, in this 2007, you know, SATS Air landed at 45 of those 60 use airports. And it is offloading the system is exactly what Richard talking about, to be able to go direct from, you know, a Pickens County in South Carolina to Georgetown, you know, without having to interfere with any of the airspace. And so we're seeing that, but what the public conception and what's being talked about in the news is all the VLJs, all this air taxi business, and all this point-to-point travel is very much going to cause additional problems. And I think that is a tactic sometimes that they use to try to put regulations onto an industry that, you know, can struggle sometimes getting started when you've got competition doing that.
Well, I think it's going to be a fascinating story to watch. I think it has a lot of implications for other new technologies in other sectors of our economy. And I want to really thank you guys for taking some time out over a two-day period here to bring our listeners up to speed. Phil, what is SATSAIR's website?
It would be www.satsair.com, and that's SATSAIR.com.
All right, and we would also direct our listeners to door2doorair.com, which is door, the numeral 2, doorair.com, to take a look at this new portal and this new way of booking travel. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for taking some time out for our listeners.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Phil Quist is the vice president of SATSAIR with a role in operations. Richard Kane is the CEO of Coastal Technologies Group. You can find out more about door2doorair.com by just going there. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. You can find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.